Back together again, you and I, on a midweek Wednesday, December 8th, 2021, on Connecticut Today. We spoke with Connecticut State Police Union President Andy Matthews on his worries about new speed cameras being slated for some highway work zones in the state. State House Republican Leader Vin Candelora chimed in on the current state redistricting process, which is heading, apparently, at least for the time being, to the Connecticut Supreme Court for a ruling on the timeline. Speed enforcement cameras, you know, where you drive through an area, and if you're going too fast, it'll register. There'll be a photo taken to your plate, cross-checked on a computer database, and guess what? You may end up getting a speeding ticket that you will have the chance to contest, the way you get a ticket when you're pulled over. But this is going to be done, at least on a pilot basis, automatically, autonomously, in construction zones. The stated purpose is, they say, to get people to slow down in construction zones. That's always good. I think people still drive way too fast through there. But there are some people wondering about this. The bill never got passed, actually, in the last session. It was put into the budget implementer bill. You know, I was telling you about that. They put rats in the bill that can't clear committees or get votes, and they become law anyway. One gentleman who's not too thrilled with this, and you might be surprised to hear that he's a retired state police trooper, and also he's the head of the state police union. Joining us right now on WICC, Andy Matthews is with us. Andy, hi, it's Paul Pacelli at WICC. How are you?
How are you, sir?
I'm good, and thanks for joining us today, Andy. I appreciate it. I was reading the story that you were quoted in, Andy, regarding the use of these automatic speed cameras in work zones. The state bills it as a real needed safety implement here, but from what I see, you take issue with that. What are your feelings on that, Andrew?
Well, first, we should say it's important for everyone to obey the speed limit for the safety of not just the motoring public, but the workers in work zones. But why we're upset with it is because, and the public should be extremely upset with it, is we elect legislators to have public hearings and have debate or discussion about bills that are proposed. And at three o'clock in the morning, this language came out at the legislature this past session at 3 in the morning, and they voted on it later in the day. In the dark of night, they propose language that essentially replaces the responsibilities of Connecticut State Troopers under Connecticut General Statute 29-7. The Commissioner of the State Police has the authority, not DOT, to do enforcement and affect a system that is meant to prevent and detect violations of law in Connecticut, including motor vehicle law. That's the job of a state trooper. And what they don't tell you, you know, there's comment from Representative Lamar that, you know, troopers aren't stopping cars as much. There's a lot that to unpack on that statement. The first thing the state should tell the public is since 2009, we're down over 300 state troopers, because rather than defunding us, they've eliminated positions of over 300 troopers. So if there were 300 more troopers on the job to be able to focus on enforcement on the highways, we might not have the problem yet. There's issues around the country with regard to speed and speed enforcement and fatalities, but when something that has the effect of imposing on someone's constitutional rights, when a camera is taking a photo of the license plate on your car, there's reason to be seriously concerned. And we tried hard to work with the Transportation Committee and Representative Lamar. We gave a lot of suggestions to State Police Union leadership, and we were rejected on it. And they just imposed this. They're going to use federal grant money through the Big Orange funds to purchase the cameras. And basically the public's going to be and what's really disappointing is that, in our view, Connecticut taxpayers are going to be the ones that suffer. And it's the law-abiding Connecticut taxpayers that will suffer the most. Because if you're an out-of-state resident or a individual that lives in Connecticut and has a misuse of a license plate, does their car's not properly registered, or they're misusing illegal plates, they're not going to get a ticket. It's not going to go back to them. But if they're out of state, the state of Connecticut doesn't have the authority, if you refuse to pay the infraction, to suspend your out-of-state license or registration. It's only Connecticut residents. So not only do we see, you know, if you had done a public hearing, the public would have been able to ask things such that are really critical, like they'd be able to question it, but also who's the third-party vendor that's getting the contract to install the cameras or use the cameras, and how is it really going to work, and who's going to be making the revenue? And around the country, you'll see a lot of states have attempted to use cameras, speed cameras, and it's failed, and on many times on constitutional claims.
Interesting. Andrew, hang on. Boy, you've laid out a lot here. Going to get deeper into it. A few more minutes coming up. Andrew, hang on. Back to you. Andrew Matthews is the guest, retired state trooper, now heads the state police union, saying, hey, this shouldn't replace troopers interacting with motorists. You shouldn't have a scenario here where somebody just mounts a camera there that takes a photo and then links that to your registration and sends you a ticket. More with Andrew Matthews straight ahead. First, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. At 3:42, the guest for a few more minutes, Andy Matthews, a retired state trooper, also heads now currently the State Police Troopers Union. Andy was quoted in a story in the Hartford Courant asking his opinion regarding the soon-to-be implementation, I guess, on a trial basis of some speed cameras at speed zones, at construction zones, rather, in the state, which we can all agree people should slow the heck down through. You know, just glide through them, crawl through them if you have to. You've got people there, and you hear, unfortunately, of construction workers that every couple of years you hear about a death or two at some of these construction zones. Andy, though, has a problem with this, and Andy, you didn't hold back on this line to the Hartford Courant as we continue with you. You said, quote, it's a revenue generator. That's all it is, 100%. Pretty tough line there, but you believe that, huh?
Yeah, you look around the country, a lot of the states and municipalities that have tried this in the past, what they realize is the third-party vendor that brings in the camera system is the one that's making the revenue, and they take a large percentage of it. So a lot of it doesn't, the purpose of it doesn't go to the taxpayers or to the general fund. It goes to the company. And, be interesting, because part of a public hearing would have allowed for people to understand from the third-party vendor who would supply the equipment, like, what is the contract? No one knows what the contract is. No one knows much about it. And that's why when things happen during COVID, you know, the public can't go to the legislature. They can't speak have the legislators hear from them. So, you know, this whole system, when you come out with the way it was designed and for it to come out at 3 o'clock in the morning and be voted on later without much of a debate, much conversation at all, is kind of sneaky in a way. And we're really disappointed that the chairman of the Transportation Committee chose to go this route.
Andy, what do you say to somebody? And undoubtedly, Andy, there are people listening out saying, okay, I'm concerned about the cameras, but come on, this is a union guy who just wants more troopers on the road. Let the cameras do it. It's cheaper. What would you say to that person who might be listening right now?
Well, I mean, if that person for some reason happens to drive through one of these speed cameras and gets a ticket versus a trooper, just before I retired the last 3 years on the job, I was a sergeant in the traffic unit. And in 2009, we had 61 troopers in the traffic unit. Today, we have about 19. And those 19 are assigned to way stations. They're not even allowed to, they're not up on the highway doing traffic enforcement. And one would think that that is. But if a trooper stops you, I would say to that person, if a trooper stops you, there may be a reason why you're speeding or accelerated at the moment you are captured on a laser or radar or a camera. And we have the ability to have the discretion to have not only do you have under your Sixth Amendment rights, the right to face your accuser and to speak to someone, like you have the right. We as troopers have to calibrate their equipment. We have a duty to calibrate and swear under an oath that it's true and accurate. And when you get stopped by a trooper, you can have a conversation, and that trooper, he or she has the ability to use their discretion that they're given under the authority of law to give you a break, to give you a written warning, a verbal warning, or an infraction if they feel it's necessary. Not so with a camera. And all we want is we want fundamental fairness. I don't see how the Transportation Committee could ever think that unfairly targeting, in my opinion, in our opinion, the taxpayers of Connecticut versus out of state. I mean, if you're on our highways, which I'm sure you travel, out of state drivers are completely reckless on our highways. I mean, there's other, you know, citizens of Connecticut that are as well,
yeah,
that we stop and arrest. But a lot of, you ask anyone, a lot of the people that are driving extremely reckless on our roadways are from out of state. And you see the out of state tags. It's not going to affect them in the same way it is the Connecticut resident. I mean, they get a ticket in the mail, they'll throw it in the trash. It doesn't make sense. So, you know, that's what I would say to someone that questions it. You're more likely to get a break and have discretion used, which should be allowed by a trooper, not a camera.
So, for example, if you get pulled over and one of your troopers was to say, "What are you doing, sir?" And this trooper could tell you, "Listen, my father just had a heart attack. My wife, you know, can't breathe," or whatever. And you can't say that to a traffic camera.
Yeah, and I, you know, there's always some circumstance, right? And the problem with this system, the way it's been written, is they were concerned 2 years ago during the legislative session, they were going to take photos of the operator. And there was question about constitutionality and images and of people's person. And so what they decided in this language, if you read the bill, is the language says that they're going to take a photo of the license plate on the vehicle. Okay, so if it's actually registered to that vehicle, we'll assume that's the scenario. It goes to the infraction goes to the registered owner of the vehicle. You may not have been even the operator. As a trooper, to answer your question on the trooper pulling you over versus the camera, the trooper is going to issue the infraction to the operator,
yeah,
not the registered owner. So that seems unfair to an owner of a vehicle just because you let a friend drive it. Now you're responsible for an infraction. You have to take the day off from work to go to court to contest a ticket that someone else might have been driving, or if someone steals the plates off your car and drives a different vehicle down the roadway, you're going to get an infraction. I mean, it's just a burden on the taxpayers. Look, there is truth. We're always open and honest with the public and the press. There is truth. Yes, we are a union. Our job is to protect the work that our troopers do. That is true. The state saves between 57 and 60 million a year not having 300 more troopers out in the field on the roadways to do the job they're complaining we're not able to do. Like, we still have the same staffing levels in the state police at our troop levels that we did in the 1960s. Like, no one talks about that. No one says, hey, we've reduced and saved the taxpayers and the general fund $60 million annually on having 300 less troopers. But we've been telling them for over a decade that this is the effect of that. You can't have it both ways. You need either have the proper staffing level, have a traffic unit that's out there enforcing the laws, and use them the way it's intended, not speed cameras. And it's just we're focused now on, because we can't be heard by the legislature. We've gotten to the point where we also believe it's somewhat of an attack on law enforcement again, because some legislators believe that they'd like to have less interaction between police and the public. There's some of that going on. But our job now is, if the legislature is not going to listen to us anymore, then we're just going to help educate the public on how to defeat the infractions they get. Like, this, it's completely unfair, especially, again, to Connecticut residents. And this isn't something the public should accept or expect from elected leaders to protect them at the Capitol. That's not what we're supposed to do. Again, let's get back to the reality is, everyone should slow down when they go through a work zone. But what the state of Connecticut and DOT won't tell the public is that state troopers working on highway construction jobs to protect third-party vendors like private companies, you see them out on the highways all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
And by the way, just while we have your ear, it's not pensionable money. Everybody says, oh, that's crazy. It's pensionable. It's not pensionable overtime. But the state of Connecticut, through the Department of Transportation, protects third-party vendor employees in work zones, and they should, because we can show you many cases where troopers aren't on work zone and citizens, workers have been killed.
Oh, sure. Right? No, absolutely. Absolutely.
But the problem we have is that DOT won't protect their own workers. If you read the language, this is to allow for speed cameras to be moved around the state in work zones for DOT employees working their shift. The state of Connecticut will pay for troopers to protect third-party vendor employees, but not their own employees. Someone should ask why.
Well, that's interesting stuff. Andy Matthews, retired state police trooper, currently heads the Troopers Union. A problem he has and his rank and file have with these speed cameras coming up. Andy, good to speak with you again. We appreciate it. If I don't talk to you, happy holidays, and we'll chat down the road. Thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Be safe.
Thanks, Andy Matthews there. All right, folks, what do you think? We've made an effort here on the show to keep you updated as to what's going on with the redistricting here in Connecticut. Again, just to set you up here so you know what's going on. When the U.S. Census is done, every 10 years, each state gets data, they get the numbers as to how the population has shifted in their state and how they may have to redraw boundary lines for the state house, the state senate, and, of course, the congressional districts. U.S. Senate doesn't abide by this because there's always going to be, you know, two Senate members per state. But the House seats have to be redrawn a little bit, and the state house and state Senate seats as well to maintain a population balance. You can't have one district double the size of another as far as population. So the process is moving forward. The House is done, but there is apparently now going to be some state Supreme Court possible intervention of this because of slowdowns and deadlines and all this. And joining us right now is State House Republican Leader Vin Candelora to update us on all that. Vin, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good, Vin. Good to have you on. Okay, so I'm reading here now where there's, I guess, going to be a hearing tomorrow or a teleconference, Vin, that is going to end up involving the state Supreme Court about deadlines, about what they may want to do, about what the options still are. So lay it out for us. What's going on tomorrow?
Yeah, so what's happened is, you know, constitutionally, the Reapportionment Commission is given the authority to draw these maps, as you pointed out, the congressional, the House, and the Senate. November 30th at midnight, those deadlines came and went. Now, normally, if we were able to get everything done, the maps get filed with the Secretary of State. After November 30th at midnight, the Supreme Court now takes over because we did not get to be able to draw the congressional map. And so we are asking the court to give us 3 weeks. So it was commencing December 1st to December 21st in order to give us time to draw the congressional maps. It was really driven by the fact that the data came so late. Normally we get it in April. We didn't have all the data formulated until September. So it didn't give us a lot of time. We prioritized the state and Senate and House maps because they are the most complicated and need this time for Congress.
Yeah, because Congress, those other maps, Vin, 36 state Senate seats, 151 House seats, and I've had Jason Perillo on, and you brought about that before. I mean, that's not easy. You're doing street by street, neighborhood by neighborhood. But the congressional map, Vin, can be tricky as well because it is, what, 700 and something thousand in each district that's got to be balanced off to keep the districts viable, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So you nibble around the edges. You know, there's certain towns that are squarely going to fall into one of those districts, and then you're sort of changing the borders. That's part of that process. And, you know, so holistically, you're dealing with five districts as opposed to, in our case, 151. It doesn't take as much time to draw, but again, we needed that additional time. Now, the court has several options. Tomorrow, the hearing is at 9:30. We have made a request for an extension. The court could deny it and say, we're going to appoint a special masters to have them draw the map for you. I hope they don't do that. I think that would be a big mistake, because this reapportionment committee is a bipartisan committee made up of 4 Republicans, 4 Democrats, and then we have the 9th person that has agreed to not break a tie. It's a purer process than giving all this power to one person. And so I hope the court recognizes that we just need additional time because of COVID, and we could try to get this job done.
Yeah, when I saw that mentioned in the story, Vin, and you just mentioned it now, special master, who would that be? I know it's a way you don't want to go because it is somewhat of a partisan issue. You want to settle it, you know, as gentlemanly as possible. But any notion who this might be? Where might they be from?
Yeah, there isn't a notion yet, but, you know, 10 years ago, that's exactly what happened. The Republicans and Democrats couldn't agree upon a map. They hit an impasse. They went to the Supreme Court, and the court had appointed a special master and gave them instruction to draw a map with the least amount of change. And so that was disappointing to us because, when you look at the map, we have a weird construct between the 1st and the 5th district. And part of that was driven 20 years ago when we had to reduce congressional seats down from 6 seats down to 5.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, there was a reason why that gerrymandering occurred. Now that we don't have that challenge, we would like to sort of try to put those districts a little bit back to normal. For instance, you look at Torrington sharing a district with Hartford, that looks a little strange when the towns neighboring them are in a different district than them. So we would like to start to have that conversation, at least, with the Reapportionment Commission.
And I saw, Vin, where a lot of what may happen, or one of the driving areas of this, is the fact that there's been a pretty good influx into Fairfield County, which has made Fairfield County much more populous over the past 10 years or so. So that has to be taken into account, correct?
That's right. I think there's about 25,000 additional people in the 4th congressional district. So that district is going to shrink and condense further into Fairfield County. And some of those areas, the towns on the edges are going to have to shed into the third or the fifth. And then our 2nd congressional district, which is all of eastern Connecticut, needs to grow by about 20,000. So we're going to have to see some of that population shift all the way across to eastern Connecticut.
And it's interesting, Vin, and State House Leader Vin Candelora is the guest here for a couple more minutes. Vin, it's interesting because that 2nd district was always big on area, almost half the state, and a little small on population. But now, as you mentioned, a lot of the population growth is starting to match the huge area of the 2nd out there.
Yeah, it's still growing. So that will take up, from a geographic standpoint, probably about half the state.
That's amazing. Well, Vin, listen, good luck. We'll keep tabs on this. Again, we'll keep an eye on it. I'll let people know the hearing is tomorrow at 9:30. Now, will the court decide something right away? Because I got to think, Vin, they've got a notion of what they want to do. This can't drag out. This won't be a get back to us in 2 weeks thing. Will we know tomorrow?
No, I would hope we would know by tomorrow or Friday that we would get some direction from the court of whether we can continue as a reapportionment commission or if they're going to appoint a special master. I would imagine that they're going to give us this time to try to work together.
All right. We should all hope. Vin Candelora, State House Rep, North Branford, House Minority Leader. We'll keep an eye on this. Vin, as always, thank you. Take care, and we'll talk down the road.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Vin. Appreciate it. All right. There you go. So we have a look probably by this time tomorrow. We will know where the congressional districts are going here.